This is Max from the great country of Scotland, and whenever I'm adjusting my kilt, I'm listening to the Two Guys Talking podcast.
Welcome to the Green Gab Podcast, a place to gab with people rocking it in green. Green homes, green living, green companies. Join Marla Esser-Close, green home coach and author of Living Green Effortlessly, Simple Choices to a Better Home, and Tony Pratt, the director of builder relations at The Sound Room. Here are your hosts, Marla and Tony.
Hey, you're on the Green Gab Podcast with Marla Esser-Close. I am the Green Home Coach. And today I am with Erica Reiner of Ely Designs. How are you today, Erica?
I'm good. Thank you for having me. This is exciting.
I know. You know, it's crazy because we can do all this with technology now and connect. Let's see, you're on the West Coast. I'm in Oklahoma City. So we're what, 2,500 miles apart?
Something like that. Yeah.
And we're just sitting here having this great conversation.
Connecting greenies across the states.
Exactly. Yes. Exactly. And I'm trying to remember how we met. Oh, you emailed me.
I did. I emailed you because you are in the green home space and you're a woman with a business and a podcast. And I think that's especially cool, especially in this kind of field. So I wanted to reach out and say, hey, and connect. And you were kind enough to reach back.
Thank you. First of all, I'm excited to find people that are just really rocking it out and doing something impactful and taking action. I'm a huge person of action, even though I procrastinate just like the rest of us. But, you know, there's always too much to do in a day, right?
Totally. Yeah, that's right.
Case in point, just so I don't forget, but if you ever have the opportunity or any of our listeners to go to the U.S. Green Building Council's Green Build Conference, which is their annual conference in education session. I think it's in Chicago in November this year. They do a really nice Women in Green luncheon or bruncheon. I can't remember which meal, but a big meeting. So if you're ever at this conference at Green Build, check that out because it's just a really awesome way to meet a lot of other women that are really doing some cool stuff in green. And green and sustainability has become so far reaching. So there's no telling who you might run into these days.
Yeah. Will you be there this year?
I am hoping to. My daughter is also planning to attend, so we are hoping to make a mother-daughter trip out of it.
Oh, that's cool. Great.
Yeah, she's a lead AP, which for our listeners that have not heard that term before, LEED, which is Leadership in Energy and Environmental Design, was one of the early entries into green home certifications and, more importantly, green building certifications. And they offer about, I think they're up to about 12 different certifications now for all different aspects of sustainability, like neighborhoods. And they even have a cities one now that I didn't know until this past week. But a lot of different ways to look at the whole idea of green and sustainability and how it plays into our well-being, which I love because that's what you do.
That's exactly right. Yeah,
yeah. Exactly. So hopefully we will both be there at the same time. And yeah, we're planning on it. And I haven't been in a while, so I'm really excited to go because there's been a lot of cool stuff happening in the last few years.
Yeah, sort of exponentially each year, you get to see more and more cool pieces of technology, new companies coming out, new equipment, all kinds of things. Yeah, that's right.
Which I know is right up your alley because there's so much stuff that goes into making up our homes.
Yeah. And I love seeing more and more products come on the market because the more there are, tends to drop down the price of what is considered eco-friendly or non-toxic and just gives people more options, makes it a little bit more mainstream. So I love seeing new products come up to the market.
And you know, I'm amazed because we're still working on our house. So I'm at one of the big box stores. Name your choice. That should be a better. But nevertheless, I find myself at some place for home improvement about once a week right now. And I'm amazed at the choices in big box stores that we have for our homes. And you know, I don't know how many people realize they have so many choices. But there's I mean, we just painted and we painted with, I don't remember if it was low VOC or no VOC, but big box store.
I know, it's great. I love seeing, more and more alternative options, healthier options.
Then easy to do.
We keep asking about it, the more maybe it'll get stocked. So that's a good thing.
And that's a chicken and an egg, isn't it? Because it's part of it is like, you know, can you actually get people to change their behavior and ask for the stuff that's better? Or do we just need to do what's better and offer that to the consumer as their best choice?
I'm a firm believer that we vote with our money. And so if we're spending money out of the big box stores on products that are natural or healthier, the big box stores will incorporate them because they don't want to lose out on that market piece.
Oh, absolutely.
So, yeah. You just gotta look for the product that's right for you. And they definitely take notice of their competition. So.
Well, and I think more and more manufacturers are offering these options.
Yep.
I'm seeing it, at least in the part of the building industry that I see and that I work with. And there's big name companies that are doing a lot to either improve what their product mix is or to make their products better. So it's at least encouraging that we still have a long way to go, but we're making some headway. There's a dent.
Yeah, that's absolutely right.
So tell me how you got into this whole idea of sustainable, healthy, eco-friendly design.
Yeah, well, it was a weird, windy road. I've always worked in the environmental industry, studied environmental science, all that kind of thing. And I was just working in the environmental industry and did a certificate in interior decorating just sort of to appease my hobby and left it. And then didn't do much until I saw a bunch of people around me starting their businesses. And I thought, well, I could do the same. And so I built my portfolio sort of piece by piece on the side, project by project. And then I really wanted to incorporate environmentalism into it as a part of my identity and who I am and what I know. So I decided to niche down and start, instead of trying to project or push my values on the customers that I had, I'm starting to more and more seek out fellow people that are also interested in a green lifestyle, green building, reducing their impact and eco footprint. So now I'm really niching into eco-friendly interior design. And basically what that means is I start with interior design just like any other designer, but I look for and specialize in products and materials and furniture and accessories that are more eco-friendly and healthy for the planet and for us. So that is what I'm focusing in on and trying to bring to as many people as possible who don't know that those options are there for them.
Very cool. So why is the whole idea of green and sustainability so important to you?
I guess it started, if I had to really psychoanalyze myself, I guess it really started when I was a kid and, you know, exposed to nature and animals and just, you know, that foundation was laid pretty early. And so thinking outside of yourself and being aware of this amazing planet that we have, just really being exposed to nature. And then in college, I took a basically how to be sustainable course for extra credit. And that sort of totally changed my world. And I was like, of course we need to be doing all these things. It was a Santa Monica Sustainable Works program. And they work with businesses, students, individuals, and they just show you how to be a little bit lighter on the Earth's footprint. And I switched my major, transferred, totally stuck with my values. And that's a huge part of my identity is wildlife, natural spaces, just being a little bit more conscious with our resources and how that impacts other people on the planet too.
What's the one thing that you really remember? I know I'm catching you off guard here.
Yeah, that's okay. There was a few things, probably water use stood out to me in that particular class. But then as I progressed in studies and eventually started doing some environmental science teaching myself, would be how human health and environmentalism or environmental health are related. And
what? Yeah, wow, that's a huge one.
And that's probably the most important to me and what I try to incorporate most into my business and what I think really reaches other people the most, even if they have no interest in necessarily leaving the earth a better place than when they left it, or they're not necessarily interested in a lot of pieces of environmental sustainability, they can really get behind human health because we all have a body, we have kids, we want, you know, to be disease free. And that really resonates well with people. And when you can draw the line between environmental health and human health, you've got a good in or a good foot in the door to the rest of the issues.
You are talking my language because health and wellness, and I find, and you likely do too, I'm really working to work with more women. Mm. Number one, we make about 90% of the decisions in a home. Mm. And number two, we tend to be much more focused on health and wellness and, you know, protecting our clan, be it our family, our friends, or people living in our home. That's really high on most women's list.
And yeah,
they may not call it green, sustainable, eco-friendly, environmentalism. They may not call it any of those things. We do all know that we want something better. And I think the hardest part is that, you know, like if you're really connected to your favorite laundry detergent and you find out that it's not so good, you're part of what I'm really also helping people to do, and I imagine you are too, is how to be okay with the things you can do and hopefully celebrate them so you can do more, but not to completely beat yourself up for the things that you can't do yet.
That's right. Definitely have to pick your battles. We can't all do everything, but like we were talking about earlier, seeing more and more products and materials and suppliers offering different kinds of things across the product market spectrum, whether it's something like a cleaning supply or your sofa itself, that is so important. And like we were talking about, really voting with your money and then seeing more and more of those options come on the market, and it drives down the price for everybody. So that's a win-win. And I love just seeing more and more companies touting their new products and getting into the space.
Yeah. Well, hey, hang on to that thought. Let's take a quick break and we'll be right back with Erica.
Wouldn't it be cool if your advertising could last forever? It can with perpetual advertising. Here's how it works. Unlike TV or radio ads, where every instance the ads are broadcast, they're only played once and lost forever. Perpetual advertising can have repeat exposure and replayability weeks, months, and even years after they're inserted in a podcast. So even if a podcast is a few years old, your ads will still be impactful to repeat listeners as well as new listeners. This gives your advertising dollar the most bang for the buck. Find out more about perpetual advertising at twoguystalking.com/sponsors.
You can try and learn about voiceover all by yourself, or you can get you and your voice to school. Check out Voice Farmers Voiceover Academy today and learn how you can make money with your voice. It's all available over at voicefarmers.com. That's voicefarmers.com.
Hey, we're still gabbing today with Erica of Uli Designs. And okay, Erica, we could sit here and talk all day.
Yeah, we could. We will have to watch ourselves in the time, but yeah.
So tell me more about what some of the projects are in your business and what's your sweet spot?
Yeah, sure. So I do work with both commercial and residential. So on the commercial side, I would say that includes retail, businesses, offices, that kind of thing. And then for homes, not just homeowners, but apartment renters and really the whole spectrum. Where I differentiate and maybe stand out a little bit is I have a few online packages. So I love working with people all over the country or the world, really. And I help people look at what their style is, what their budget is. And then from there, I work like any other designer and I put together a design concept with a mood board. Sometimes I do a little video explaining the design concept so they can watch it and listen to me speak and look at examples at the same time. And then depending on their package and what it includes, they often get a 3D model, some rendered images to see what it would look like after, and a source and procurement list so they know exactly what I'm thinking that they should put in their space and where it would go, what it will look like. And where it gets different is when I'm looking for sourcing, I'm really in the know about certain vendors that are producing furniture, accessories, rugs, curtains, basically anything in the interior design space that's going to be somewhat better in some capacity, whether that's eco-friendly or non-toxic. Now, they're not necessarily the same thing. So you can have a product that's eco-friendly and uses less natural resources, but it might not necessarily be non-toxic. And you can have something non-toxic that was not necessarily made with recycled materials or eco-friendly resources. So between the two, obviously both is best, but I do look for whatever is right for the space with design first and budget first. And then I incorporate what is going to work within those constraints? Because I find that a lot of people hear eco-friendly design sounds so awesome, but that sounds expensive. Yeah. And what I want to say is, no, I'm going to reverse engineer the process from what you can do, what works for you, and then I'll let you know what we can work in and where we can get our most bang for the buck in terms of bringing in the non-toxic elements, bringing in the eco-friendly elements in a way that works well for each client.
So do you also pull in repurposed items or secondhand furniture and things of that?
Oh, yes. That's an easy win. So some really easy, just quick tips here for anyone that wants to know. Always using pre-loved items, and that does not necessarily mean you have to go to the flea market and get the vintage looking thing or the, you know, shabby chic looking thing. You can get pre-loved items that are as modern or as coastal or yeah. Mediterranean or whatever you want them to be, because there's so many cool online purchase platforms that selling things.
I've become a junkie on Facebook.
Yeah. So exactly. Facebook Marketplace. There's tons of marketplaces.
Free love, Facebook. Free love.
Oh, yes. Gotta love. I've sold on Facebook Marketplace. Love it. But basically, you can take something that's pre-owned. And what that does is really reduce your impact on creating something new from virgin resources. Mm-hmm. And also the shipping, because you're probably going to be getting it closer to where you are instead of pulling it from Asia or whatever. So pre-loved is always a really easy win, a budget-friendly win, and it's so accessible these days. So that's really good. Another one might be paint. That is a really easy win to do. There are so many suppliers of no VOC paint. So that's volatile organic compounds, which are things you don't want in your house that are smelly. That's why you have a new fresh coat of paint, a regular paint, it stinks up the whole house.
Right.
Non-VOC paint does not. And that's, you know, the prices on that are coming down and down, and major suppliers are offering it. Benjamin Moore offers their Natura line, and you can choose any color in their entire Benjamin Moore palette and choose to buy it in a no VOC option. Nice. And there's a ton of like mom and pop supplies that have... So that's another really easy win, because your walls are probably going to be the most surface area in your home where you're able to get in a lot of bang for your buck in terms of reducing toxins and being a little bit greener. And I'd say I'll round out top three with flooring adhesive. Even if you can't afford a fully eco-friendly flooring like bamboo or cork or something reclaimed wood, something of that nature, and you want to go with like the cheapest laminate out there, you can still get some green points in your project if you go for an adhesive, a flooring adhesive that is lower in toxins, lower in chemicals. So there's always ways to, on any project, there's always ways to squeeze in some eco-friendly items, even if you don't want to rank the bank.
Yeah, I encourage people to green as they go. So every time you upgrade something, replace it, you know, just do it better.
Yeah.
Do it better. Make a choice that's going to be better for you, better for the people around you, better for the whole community.
That's right. Yeah. I'm sure a lot of your listeners are familiar with the indoor outdoor air pollution statistic, that most of us have much worse air pollution inside our homes and out. So anytime you want to bring something in design wise or otherwise, I take a look at that for you and see what we're able to incorporate.
Simple tip. I tell people, air out your home. You know, if it's not horribly cold or horribly hot, open your windows for a couple hours, you know, as much as you can.
That's right.
And even if you have nothing in your home that you think is going to be harmful, just allergens and cooking and taking showers and all that helps to gather stuff in our home. So get some fresh air in once in a while. It smells good.
That's right.
It smells good. So tell us about maybe a couple of the projects that you've been able to do.
Ooh, okay. Let's see. One of the first projects I ever put in my portfolio was an indoor kids gym. I don't know if you've ever heard of this or ever seen it. It's basically like a play area or gymnasium that's inside. Maybe it has an outside space too. These are popular in New York where the weather is, you know, severe sometimes. But basically, it's just like a play area. And sometimes they have events there. Sometimes there's like kiddo workout classes. It can kind of take a lot of different shapes. And so we transformed a, it was a, I think like a Thai boxing gym with concrete floors and cracked walls and craziness. And we totally transformed it into a kid's play space. And that was really fun.
So what kind of materials did you choose? I'm going to back you up a second. So what kind of materials did you choose to use inside of an indoor kid gym?
Yeah.
Right, that would be better for us than what you might have traditionally chosen.
Sure. So one part of the project was doing some internal build outs of different like shapes and play structures. And so there we looked for, you know how sometimes composite wood has formaldehyde in it, either in the glue or in the process. So we looked for, I know, surprise, surprise, there's formaldehyde in your lumber. So we looked for wood that was not only FSCA, which is Forestry Sustainable Certified or council certified product, but also any type of composite or pressed wood, we look for formaldehyde free or low formaldehyde wood. Also the paint, like I said, easy win. We did put down different kinds of flooring. Some was a bit like rubbery, that kind of rubbery bouncy
stuff.
And so looking at the eco-friendly adhesive, like I mentioned, when you're laying that kind of flooring, and some of the pieces of furniture itself were just more sustainably made, eco-friendly.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, I stopped you before you could go on to the next project.
Oh, that's okay. I did a really fun cafe recently. This is one of my online clients. So he was all the way in Georgia opening a rolled ice cream shop, which was a fancy kind of ice cream that I haven't had the pleasure of having yet, but I will one day. And he wanted a really modern but really funky front of house for his restaurant to make it really stand out and keep people coming back. So we collaborated on some fun ideas, and it was called the Rolling Monkey, I believe. We incorporated a lot of like fun tree stuff and had hanging swings and crazy lighting and built-in tables. So that was a really fun project that I just finished as well. And so
you just mentioned lighting. That's one that we didn't talk about earlier, because that's another easy win.
That is an easy win. I feel like hopefully most people know that they can buy energy-saving light bulbs. I like to find pieces. Lighting is sort of twofold. So you can find the material itself is made out of either reclaimed steel or reclaimed wood or whatever. And the actual piece is easier on the resources. And then also you can exchange the lighting out. And they're making more and more light bulbs that are more aesthetically pleasing that are also energy savers, which is a win for me because I'm always looking at aesthetics, because you want to be able to balance. What I do is different than just eco-friendly home consulting. They are working with me because they want a really great design. They want their commercial space to reflect their brand or their home to reflect their own identities and feel really good in their space, which is so important to us. So we really have to start with the aesthetic, but I love that even something like a light bulb, they're making more and more attractive by different suppliers seeing new demand for that kind of thing. So
are you saying you want to help people have something that looks good and performs well?
That's right. High aesthetic, high value, high quality. I want it all.
There you go. My mantra. It's got to look good and perform well.
That's right. Because
you look enough places and they don't work the way you think they do, you start figuring out how important both sides of that equation are.
Totally. Totally. And if you're going to hire a designer, you really want to be happy with how your space looks at the end, besides feeling great that you helped out Mother Earth and your own health. So it's got to be a win-win.
I agree.
I think we can do it.
Can, right?
What's that?
A triple win if you can.
A triple win. Heck yeah.
Yeah. Well, hang on. Let's take a quick breather and we'll be right back.
Check out the book, Living Green Effortlessly, Simple Choices for a Better Home, to make simple changes to buying habits that affect a home both inside and out. Marla Esser-Close shows consumers ways to make any home a green home.
Get the book now at livinggreenbook.com. That's livinggreenbook.com.
Don't miss the next episode of the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. podcast. Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. isn't just a television show now on ABC. It's a great new podcast available at agentsofshield.tv. Only on the Two Guys Talking Podcast Network.
I'm Chief Chris DiGiuseppe from WhatCopsWatch.com, and you're listening to the Green Gab Podcast with Marla Esser-Close.
Hey, we're still gabbing, and we're with Erica talking about all kinds of fun ways to design with Mother Earth and your own health and wellness and well-being and psychological well-being, all of that in mind. That's what I love about interior design, Erica, is it impacts so many pieces of your life and you don't realize it.
That is right. People often don't realize, but there are, you know, peer-reviewed academic studies that show how much our home or work environment impact our mood and affect us. And so what you think might be trivial is actually really important to your behavior, your productivity, your outlook. So it's quite important taking it a step further with, you know, greening up the pieces of furniture and toxins that are in your house or your space.
Yeah, there's some pretty scary stories about linkages between chemicals in particular that are places we don't expect, and some pretty major illnesses. So
that's right. Like, my favorite thing to do is attack the soft goods in your house. So replacing your sofa and your rugs and potentially your curtains with ones that are fire retardant free. So they don't have some nasty chemicals in there that are really easy to get into your system. And luckily there's a lot, like we were talking about, a lot of high style options. More and more coming onto the market, especially where I am in California. It used to be illegal not to have those chemicals in, but there's an important battle won. And now we can have really awesome sofas that don't have any chemicals. And that's my favorite thing to do for folks with kids, is look at their beds, rugs, and sofas and get some really cute pieces that are healthy too.
There you go. And I, you know, that's something most people don't even think about. It's got a fire retardant. And we have that battle with mattresses as well, or?
Oh yeah. With everything. It was everywhere.
Yeah. And it's like you solve one issue. Actually, you don't solve it. You make it a little bit less impactful, but then you've created a whole nother set of issues. So unintended consequences, I'm imagining you run into quite a bit.
Oh yeah. And you know, that's why transparency is so important with companies and showing what they are providing in a certain product so we can make informed decisions. So instead of being covered in brominated Tris, it might be covered in chlorinated Tris, which is one molecule over but has the same impact. But they're able to say, oh, that's not in our products anymore. So what I do is save people huge amounts of time in terms of researching and finding the best products and companies that sort of fit what they need. And that's one of the benefits of having a designer, is that they really take a lot of the research and sourcing time off of your plate and do that for you. So I look at the best companies that are still providing good products and great prices.
Well, and I wish I had more people like you to work with, because when we're working on green home certifications, we'll provide the specs for the attributes so that it can be green. And there's, like you've mentioned, many ways to be green and sustainable. It may be natural, it may be recycled, it may be low toxins, preferably as many as possible. But then, you know, within those parameters, there's lots and lots of choices. And
you can spend all day perusing online now that everything's online. So
yeah. I've worked with multifamily projects where they'll bring in sheet goods for floor that's recycled and floor score certified. And for y'all that have never heard of floor score, it's one of the certifications that says a flooring product meets certain green sustainability requirements. Do you use a lot of certification programs? Because I know I really urge my clients to look for those, because it makes it life easier.
That's right. Yeah. But it can be a little bit confusing with all the different certifications that are out there. So there are certifications that are for fabrics and yarns and cottons, and then there's certifications for floor flooring. There's certifications for adhesives and things like that. So that is also a lot of what I'm doing, is looking for that kind of thing and explaining what it is and looking at which piece fits in where. So yeah, there are quite a few different organizations, and getting a hold of that is also something I would want to take on to release the burden on someone else I'm helping.
Well, I would be happy to share with you some of the basic ones that we reference when we're doing green home certifications. Matter of fact, this certification I work with the most can even be used for green remodels.
Awesome. Remind me what it is, because I know you do have some involvement with LEED, but you also are certified in...
I am also a master certified green professional with the National Association of Home Builders.
That's right.
National Association of Home Builders endorses, I guess is the best word, a program from the ICC group. So it's an ICC 700.
Right.
And it's called the National Green Building Standard. It's also ANSI approved. So it is, you know, it's only a residential space in a mixed use environment, but it's really flexible for a lot of the builders in particular, because it reads like a code. So they're familiar with the layout, but it works great for single family, multifamily, remodels, new construction. So it's been very flexible. It's growing very fast. So kind of the thing I help people to kind of realize is that you have green and energy certification programs for an entire home or building. Then you also can have certification programs for a product or a set of parameters about a product. So for instance,
you
might be GreenGuard certified if you don't have VOCs in.
Exactly.
And so like a lot of different products can carry a GreenGuard certification. But the coolest thing about the certifications, I think, and we can take a lot of these certifications kind of our shortcut to know that something meets a criteria when we're doing a green home certification. So there is a independent third party that's already done that work of doing all the research, looking up the material safety data sheets, looking up the ingredients, you know, understanding the manufacturing process, and if it's a sustainably certified or other certifications on the manufacturing. So it's just a nice way of knowing that all of that has indeed been tested and documented by another party. So
absolutely. Yeah.
And that's helpful.
And those are the ones that I'm looking at a little bit more, are the certifications per material. So whether that is, you know, the fabric in a curtain or whatever. So I love to see those, and I love finding companies who are going after those, because you know that they're not greenwashed and that they're legit in that case.
Exactly. Yeah. Well, and with the U.S. Green Building Council's LEED for LEED certification programs, and I say multiple of them, one of the things that came out with the last version was a bigger emphasis on materials and traceability and knowledge about materials. So that's really driven a lot of manufacturers to really up their game in the information they're sharing and having those materials and those products be suitable to be used in LEED, because there's a higher level of accountability and a higher level of transparency needed with that. So it's, I think it's raising, what is it, raising tides raise all boats. So I think it is happy. I look back where we were 10 or 15 years ago, and it's a world of difference. But
oh, definitely.
Long way to go.
Yeah. Like I was saying, the more that we see change for the better it is for the consumer. Because what I face a lot is people being afraid that it means that they are going to have a huge budget in order to have an eco-friendly interior design.
Right.
Plan made for them. And that's not necessarily true anymore, although maybe it was 10, 20 years ago. With all these new inventions and products and players in the market, we have seen a huge drop in price. And so that means I can get things for people for the same as standard pieces on the market. It's really quite comparable. And like I said, I like to work backwards in, instead of just saying, here's all these things that would look great and this is what it would cost. I say, okay, how much do you want to spend reasonably redoing your bedroom or your living room? And then from that, I let them know what they can get. And then we can work within that, we can increase it or whatever. So that's what I think from a business model point of view is important for designers to do, is really work within what your clients are telling you and listening to that and setting up expectations up front and just letting them know what is available to them from the beginning.
I think that's great, because I tell people the same thing with the whole green home, is it's scalable. It doesn't, I mean, we've worked on affordable homes that are green certified, and we've worked on luxury homes that are green certified and everything in between. So
that's right.
You're right. Set your parameters and go for it. So one of the things you mentioned earlier is that you have this online design package. Before we wrap up our time, I want to hear more about that.
Yeah, thanks. I have about three, and I'm working on a fourth level in terms of tiered packages. So really, it's important to me that I am available and accessible to a lot of different kinds of people, and that they can get the package that's right for them with what they need and what they have to spend. So for online, I have a couple packages. One is a consultation package. And so we're able to work remotely, not too dissimilar to what you and I are doing right now on Zoom. So I can chat with people on the phone or on a video conference. I have a questionnaire that I do as part of my intake, so I can really get to know the person, get to the bottom of what they need, their priorities. And the consultation, whether I'm in person or in front of the screen with you, I have honed in my process to really get to the bottom of things so I can help folks. And so that's easily done online. And then the rest of the deliverables are also done remotely. So that means I go and I take the information and I come up with the 3D model, the rendered images, the design concept with a digital mood board, like I said, that little video, and sometimes on the next package up, also the sourcing and procurement, and I'm able to itemize in sort of like a big tear sheet what are all the products that are meant to be going and where, and that lets them just click buy, or I can do the purchasing as well for the full package. So they get everything delivered from me that really sets them up to do the installation themselves with the design. So it really sets everything up for them, and they are able to take what I've given them and put it all together. And so that's really the only difference, is I'm not doing the installation. And depending on your package with me, I might not be doing the sourcing, or I could be. So kind of depending on your price point.
So do most people that use those packages have somebody doing the installation for them, or are they doing it themselves, or both?
Both. Yeah, both. So some folks will do it themselves, and then on bigger projects where a contractor is involved, or, you know, certain like subcontractors for building smaller things within this space, they will often use that. And then for the furnishings and accessories, they do the installations themselves. And so my job as someone who focuses on online design is really to set them up for success and think about all the things they would need to execute properly. Like, I show them exactly what and how to measure. I show them where things go. And a lot of what has been important for me in my business building is looking at systems and looking at how this execution will work really smoothly online, because it's still sort of a new model and it's still sort of a new concept. And so not everyone knows you can work with a designer, but online, but that really drops the price down for not necessarily having to be there in person and the hours that you're not paying for installation. So as long as the designer can really adequately set up expectations and set up the process so everyone's super clear about what's going to happen and when, then it opens the world to so many more people that might not otherwise be able to afford the in-person, full-service, high-end design. So it's a great option for the rest of the 99%, if you know what I mean.
So how do people find you if they want to do one of these?
My company name is E. Lee Designs. That's the initial for my first name, Erica. My middle name is Lee, L-E-I-G-H. And if you email me at erica@eleedesigns.com, or you go to eleedesigns.com, that's my site, you can reach out there. I'm also on Instagram. Take your pick. I'm everywhere. Yeah.
Well, in parting, what is one piece of advice that you would like to leave with our listeners?
When you are looking at your space that you want to redesign or redecorate, it is really important to think about your priorities, because it can be quite overwhelming with all the things that you might have to do or want to do. And so an exercise I like to go through with people in the consultation session when we're working together is to let them talk a little bit about what bothers them, what they want to change, blah, blah, blah. And I kind of hear all the different pieces. And then from that, I ask them, okay, if you have to pick your top three priorities out of what you told me, I want you to put them in order. And so that could be something like, I want a new sofa, and it could be very specific, or it could be something like, I really want to create an inviting warm space where I can host. And that might mean a few different things in terms of execution, but getting really clear on what your priorities are, what you use the space for, that's going to really help lead you in a good direction.
That's great advice.
Thank you.
Very great advice. Well, I have so enjoyed talking with you.
Me too.
Gavin on the Green Gab, and I will look forward to us reconnecting here in the next few months, and look forward to seeing where things go.
So thank you so much for having me on. It was great. And I could see that we could probably gab the day away. So we'll have to get back and do this again.
Well, I look forward to it. And I look forward to seeing where all your wonderful business goes. You've got all kinds of exciting opportunities. So we thank you for bringing that to the world and to the Green Gab.
Thank you so much. It was my pleasure.
Okay, everybody. Have a great green day. We'll see you next time.
Thanks for listening to this episode of the Green Gab Podcast and for joining us on our own personal green odyssey as we change the world one Green Gab podcast at a time. What did you learn about during this episode? Tell us now by visiting our website at greengabpodcast.com. And remember to connect with us via iTunes, Facebook, and Twitter. Links to do all of this are at our website, greengabpodcast.com. Thanks for listening, but more importantly, thanks for rocking it in green.